Sunlight shines behind the words Summit Entertainment, which hover in a clearing of puffy clouds. As the view swoops around the words, they disappear in a cloud, then emerge to read, a Lionsgate Company. Indistinct shapes move in the blackness of space, bright blue light shining through them. A view pulls back as the shapes settle over the Earth's curvature, revealing them to be letters that read, Code Black Films. The source of light fades out behind the title as more words appear below, a Lionsgate Company. Two halves of an incomplete circle come together, forming the letter S in the negative space, Snoot Films. The logo dismantles piece by piece. Summit Entertainment presents, in association with Code Black Films, in association with Snoot Entertainment. A split-screen montage shows various sights around Oakland. Kids dance on a street, while two hip-hop dancers practice in an abandoned warehouse. David Diggs, Rafael Casal, Janina Gavankar, Jasmine Cephas Jones. A farmer's market is juxtaposed against aerial views of the port. Newly constructed houses and homeless encampments appear side by side, as do a corner store and an organic grocery store. Ethan Embry, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Utkush Ambudkar, Kevin Carroll, Niambi Niambi, John Chafin, and Wayne Knight. A view glides past an elaborate mural on a tunnel wall. Casting by Kimberly R. Harden, CSA, Nina Henninger, CSA, music supervisor Jonathan McHugh, music by Michael Yuzerski, edited by Gabriel Fleming, costume designer Emily Batson, production designer Tom Hammock. A man carries a Warriors flag while a Raiders logo appears on a billboard. Two women fight in a subway. A red sports car performs donuts in a parking lot. Director of photography, Robbie Bumgardner. Co-producers, Chris Harding, Jeffrey Kwan. Produced by Rafael Casal, David Diggs. Produced by Keith Calder, Jess Calder. Written by Rafael Casal and David Diggs. Directed by Carlos Lopez Estrada. A sign on a marquee reads, Blind Spotting.
All right.
A bearded black man sits in a courtroom.
Now that you have completed your 2-month sentence at Alameda County Jail, Santa Rita, you will proceed to a halfway house facility to begin your 1-year probation period. You will have an 11 p.m. curfew. Maintain employment. Carry out assigned chores. Not travel outside of Alameda County. And have 0 altercations with law enforcement under any circumstances. Any infraction, fighting, drug use, etc., will result in immediate return to Santa Rita.
Mr. Hoskins.
The man looks up.
Give me a verbal confirmation that you've heard and understood these parameters.
The man purses his lips.
Yeah.
Now, sporting braided hair, he sits in the backseat of a stationary car bathed in electric blue light. Text appears. 11 months, 27 days later, 3 days left on probation. The man opens a takeout box. In front, a black man with close-cropped hair smokes a joint, while a white guy sitting shotgun removes his grill and bites into a burger. Brow furrowing, he spits the mouthful out.
That does not taste the same. Like, that is not a fry.
They're wedges now. I'm into that. I am.
What the fuck is umami ketchup?
Umame
ketchup. I fuck with these wedges, though.
Yeah, you would. This ain't the old quick way at all.
The men check their phones.
Y'all get next text about a work party on Friday?
Yup.
Y'all trying to go?
No.
Hey. Oh, what is this?
He pulls a gun from between the seats.
Oh. You got a little yisco, bro?
Hey, I would like to get out.
Look at this. Let me out. Better one in the glove, though.
No.
The man sitting shotgun retrieves a second pistol from the glove compartment.
I don't have a door back here.
Yeah.
I got 3 days left on this probation, Miles, so let me
Come on,
out
man,
the
you
car.
Gotta let me hold one of these.
Yeah,
something. That one
you can
for
continue.
Something for 200.
Your gun deal.
Yeah, one by each of Collins. Hey, Colin, go ahead on right
what?
Quick. Two right quick.
No,
I get what he's talking about. Come on, quit being a big crowd right quick.
This is what we're doing now, then.
They want another little visor thing right there.
A visor? Of course there's one in the visor.
My goodness. Precious me. One in my pocket. Very nice. nice.
Nigga, why are there six guns in your car, Dad?
Oh, Colin, man, I like yours.
Right here,
yo,
that
this is
dope.
Not my. Also, stop pointing that shit at me.
They're not loaded, bro.
Those are for sure loaded.
Okay.
See,
right? Curfew. It's almost 11. I ain't trying to go back to jail.
$200.
Let me out. Fucking car. Not Colin's gun. Let the record show this is not Colin's gun.
All right, give me that.
Miles' hand stares at the cash and takes one of the guns to Colin.
Oh, shit. Get the fuck out. I just got an Uber pickup. You got it.
Miles looks around the car.
Motherfucker, is this an Uber? Hell yeah. Money everywhere I can get it, homie. Goodness. Respect that.
Miles and Colin get out of the car, which sits parked on giant rims outside a fast food joint. A crowd mills about outside the gabled roofed eatery, on which hangs a banner that reads Grand Reopening. Standing in front of the eatery, the two friends stare at the neon Quickway sign above the banner. Miles gestures emphatically.
You're no Quickway.
He throws his burger on the ground.
Oh.
Colin eyes the wrapper.
Oh, you got a vegan burger.
Why the fuck would they give me a vegan burger?
Sorry, did you specify meat?
An employee stands nearby.
If you want a beef patty, you have to specify meat.
Miles stares at him.
Why?
It's okay.
Why the
we
fuck
have...
would I
it's all
have
right.
to specify
It's really okay.
Me.
Not everything's a fight.
Take
you
your motherfucking ass over there and cool. take it.
You're not impressing anybody.
All right.
Tanner, you have a good night.
The crowd outside the eatery dances, grooving to a DJ's tunes. Now, carrying his box of wedges, Colin strolls down a dimly lit sidewalk with Miles, who lights up a joint.
Hey, why the fuck you get that gun, though?
Miles removes the joint from between his lips and exhales.
It's 2 a.m., right? Somebody tries to break into the house. His son's there. My girl's there. Want him to fight him off with a potato wedge?
Colin eyes his box, then points to it.
Grand opening of the new Quickway.
Hey.
Wish I knew a quicker way. Whips is sweet getting tooth decay, all these candy cars. Look like they owned by fancy stars.
Just some motherfuckers pulling up on the boulevard.
Hey.
They pass an interracial couple kissing.
That's adorable.
Y'all a real sweet little couple.
You like, if you like white boys, he's not available. You don't want to.
If you don't walk in, my bro right here for sure need a female.
Oakland City. Pity. New to the view might get a bit dizzy.
Okay.
Gillespie. Paid on a blade like Gretzky. Paid off a blade like Wesley.
Hey. 3 more days till he's free, though.
Woo! 3 more days till I'm free, though. Then I'm moving up. Hope I move enough.
Hey.
Money in my pocket, we get paid just for moving stuff.
They stop beside a Commander moving truck.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Money in my pocket, we get paid just for moving stuff. Ah. In this fucking moving truck.
Shit.
Doors close, and a foot presses down on a pedal. Now, the truck passes a theater with a brightly lit sign that reads, Box Oakland. Various street signs flash by, each bearing a symbol of an oak tree. The truck turns onto a street and stops in front of an apartment building next to a convenience store. Text on the side of the truck reads, Commander Moving, Excellence and Relocation.
Hey, man, do me a favor. When you got that gun on you, just don't tell me about it. Plausible deniability.
What gun are you talking about, Colin? Oh, do you mean this gun?
Stop waving the shit around.
This gun right here? This one right here, bro?
Get the fuck out. Get out.
He pushes Miles with his foot.
Curfew, nigga. Shit.
Good night, Colin. I love you, man.
Yeah. Dick.
Colin flips him off. Now, a view moves down from a street sign at the intersection of West Grand Avenue and Martin Luther King Jr. Way to find the truck taking a right turn. Eating a burger, Colin pulls to a stop at a traffic light on an otherwise empty road. He drops his burger on the seat beside him and wipes his mouth, nodding absently as he eyes the signal high above the ground. Red light bathes his face as he waits, taking his hand off the wheel and resting it in his lap. He taps his foot, fidgeting in his seat.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
He checks his watch.
You fucking like, come on.
The light remains red. Collins' gaze darts around restlessly before returning to the red light. Rubbing his neck, he leans back in his seat and checks his watch again, then hunches forward over the wheel. The light turns green. As Colin presses down on the accelerator, a black man runs out in front of the truck.
Yo! Yo, bro!
Stop!
The man shoots Colin a frightened look, then runs off. A police officer chases after him, stopping beside Colin's window as he aims a gun.
Stop!
Don't shoot! Don't shoot!
Colin flinches. He stares at the officer, breathing heavily. His rearview mirror shows the black man lying motionless in a heap on the ground. Lowering his gun, the officer turns to look at Colin, the dazed expression on his pale face contrasting starkly with Colin's wide-eyed horror. Two police cars arrive. An officer bangs on the hood of the truck.
Hey, let's go.
Colin glances at the man in his rearview mirror.
Hey, wake up! Let's go! Move!
Snapping out of his daze, he grabs the wheel and drives off. A police car speeds past him in the opposite direction. Now, slamming the truck door shut, Colin hurriedly locks it, then turns away and bangs on it with his fist.
Fuck!
A view moves down a two-story building to find Colin sprinting through the entrance. Moments later, he shuts his room door and locks it, then switches on a light and leans against the door. He runs a hand through his hair. He moves to his bed.
11 p.m. is a required curfew, Mr. Hoskins. It's 11:09, and you have bathroom duty this week. Is that understood?
Colin sits with his hands clasped.
Verbal confirmation, please.
His frightened expression slowly gives way to despair.
Mr. Hoskins.
Daytime, Colin jolts awake in bed. He hits his alarm clock, which reads 6:25.
Rose from the ashes with the passion.
Now, wearing earbuds, Colin jogs past a cemetery, his hair pulled back into a tight ponytail. Text appears, 2 days left on probation. A vision of the black man from the previous night flashes before his eyes. Colin shakes his head and jogs faster, his path taking him through a stone archway covered in foliage. Elsewhere, a small boy runs down a shadowy corridor toward Miles, who picks him up and plunks him on a couch next to a woman with dreads.
All right, enough Tarzan. Let's get rid of the skull.
Oh. Mama, get you.
Give him up for
us. Colin leans on a table across from them.
Please, sit up. Let's get these shoes together.
I saw the cops kill a nigga last night.
Ooh.
Miles covers his son's ears.
What you mean you saw it?
Dude runs up past the truck, and then the cops came up. Shot him.
Is he dead?
Oh, yeah, he dead. They shot him like 4 times.
I mean, that don't necessarily mean he dead. And like, they shot him 14 times like that motherfucker out in Milwaukee.
Miles, what's not
that
helpful.
Name? What was his name, though? I'm trying to...
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
He breaks into a grin as the kid smacks Miles.
Okay, all right. It wasn't about you for 2 seconds, man. You ain't got a KO, man. All right, look.
Miles lifts the kid onto a coffee table.
All right, we about to show Colin them hands, okay? Put him up like this. You got your hands working. All right, you ready? And we gonna say this up to the sky together, okay? I'm a tough guy.
I'm a tough guy.
No, louder, man. I'm a tough guy.
I'm a tough guy.
I'm the toughest motherfucker to ever. You're right, he can't say that.
He puts the kid back on the floor.
Mean face. Attack him.
The boy chases Colin into a bedroom.
Get it. That's right.
Get on his head like this.
Colin picks him up and falls onto a bed.
Right, whop on his head, just like that.
All right, well, little thug life right here is about to be late to school again.
Only because you're not sending him to the preschool down the street. Like I told you to, he'd have been there already.
Yeah, well, where he needs to go is Central Vita Preschool in Berkeley.
Central Vita Preschool is $200 more a fucking week. Are you kidding me?
Well, that's because it's the only bilingual preschool that I can get to on the train.
Why you need to be bilingual? He already biracial.
Oh, my God, come on.
Colin and the kid, roughhouse.
Just use all that mouthpiece to get us some fancy preschool money, okay?
Fine.
That's it.
The boy jumps on Colin from behind.
But I gotta talk to you about something. It's serious.
What?
Find my hands. Are so cold this morning. I can't go to work with these cold hands. Okay. I'm gonna need to warm them up.
Oh,
that ass here was just for a second.
God, would you answer so cold?
Miles wraps his arms around her. She looks off defeatedly.
You feel better?
It's so nice. What am I supposed to do?
It's just, it is so
it's
nice,
a privilege.
It's nice.
They kiss.
Love you too.
The kid stands on top of Colin.
As you cheated.
Now the two men exit Miles' apartment building. As they walk to the convenience store next door, they pass guys on a sidewalk. Inside the store, a news report plays on a TV screen.
After a pursuit in West Oakland last night, a dramatic standoff with police left one suspect.
This the shit you saw?
A photo pops up of the police officer in uniform.
You see this cop?
Yes, huh?
Fired four shots, killing the man.
Why the fuck is he wearing his hat on? Why would you take a picture like that?
Shit.
This cop see you?
Yeah.
Hey, bro, let me get that square. But then you just left?
I mean, it's after 11. What I'm supposed to do? James always be talking that shit.
If you're a witness, you're not gonna leave like a statement or
oh,
some
yeah.
shit?
Oh, yeah. Hello, police. I'd like to report a murder you did. I was out after curfew. Yeah, I'm a convicted felon.
All right.
Back to jail? Yeah, tomorrow works for me. What time?
Miles lays a dollar bill on the counter in exchange for a cigarette, which he sticks behind his ear. He opens a cooler.
Bro, what the fuck is this green juice shit doing up in here?
It's good for you.
How much?
$10.
What?
What is this, the blood of fucking Jesus? The fuck is in it that it costs $10?
Let me get one.
I'm sorry, what?
Colin silences him with a finger, then pulls out cash from his wallet. Miles walks off, gesturing vaguely. Now, incense sticks burn next to a stack of psychology books on a desk. A door opens, and the guys step into an office.
All right, we're all set. Thank you so much for choosing, Commander.
Namaste, Val. Your aura is looking very transcendent this morning. Did you finally purge yourself of your superiority complex, or... No, you're still working on it? Okay.
A dark-haired young woman behind the desk ignores him as he stamps his time card.
Oh, is that a green juice?
Is it? Oh, yeah. Oh, I guess it is. You know, it's just part of my regimen these days. A little green juice, little, what's that class you be taking?
Soul Cycle.
Soul Cycle. Yeah, look, my soul is so...
He takes a sip.
Shit. It's healthy.
I am just glad you're taking care of yourself.
Most definitely.
Val gives him a small flirtatious smile, which Miles notices.
Colin was involved in a shootout last night with the police.
What?
I wasn't. That's not true.
Very
that's
exciting. Not
who were you out?
No, Miles.
People died.
Miles,
who were you
just,
out
he
with?
Just fucking with you, babe. Sorry, Val. Front desk girl. Person. Front
Get
desk
going.
Person.
Get going. Thank you for calling Commander, where we strive for excellence in...
Colin stamps his time card. Now a quick montage shows him grabbing his uniform, boots, and bags from a locker. As he changes, Miles addresses the co-workers in the locker room.
Fuck Val! Disloyal, she uppity, and she permanently in downward bitch pose. That ain't my fault.
Motherfucker, you bugging. That's his ex-girl.
Yorkie, stop saying bugging. You live on the West Coast now. You're a Californian. Get with the fucking program.
Hey, Miles, you bugging.
Shut the fuck up.
Hey, she got this nigga a job, and she let you guys both drive the truck home. I mean, come on, get out this boy's head.
Thank you, Tim.
She gotta let us drive the truck to and from work. That's how we get to and from work, man. I'm not saying she's not smart. She's plenty smart. I'm just saying it's a shame she only uses that intelligence toward being a higher caliber of bitch. That's all I'm saying.
Simmer, simmer, man.
Hey, he only defended her because he liked that vegan quick way pussy that he given her. That's the whole shit.
It's too far. You don't get to eat no pussy because that rusty-ass grill in your mouth.
Colin grins. Later, he turns a key in the truck's ignition, shifts a gear, and presses down on the accelerator.
Catch me, I'm on too fast on the gas, don't chase me.
A montage of scenes around the city shows a bicyclist riding with his front wheel in the air and a train moving on a bridge. A colorful wall mural depicts a steam train, while another features the word resistance in stylized font. Storefronts slip by. A bearded man rides a tall bike.
Oh, shit. Tall-ass bike, big-ass beer.
Oh, gentrification on a whole other level. Who are these people?
Now the friends step out of their truck in matching coveralls. Colin's name tag displays a smiley face. As they walk in slow motion, Miles removes his grill and pockets it. In front of a glass door, the two of them nod at each other. Colin presses a buzzer. Inside a photo gallery.
Okay, there's Leon, Cynthia, Marvin. Where's Vivian? Such an evasive little firecracker.
Miles packs two photo frames.
Don't have Santiago and Dante's facing each other. They do not get along.
Staring, please. Miles turns one of the frames around.
My work looks to make people fall in love.
So, I love trees?
That's from my last exhibit. I superimposed photographs of oak trees over neighborhoods where they used to grow to remind people that they used to be everywhere. Now they're just on the damn street signs. Oh, boys, They're chopping us down. These people were all forced out for the new Oakland.
He points to his photos.
Which is why faces, eyes, to stare is to see. Come here for a minute.
Miles and Colin walk over to him.
Just stare at each other for a moment.
Oh, no, man, we're close enough. We got kind of like a Calvin and Hobbes thing going
on. This isn't sexual.
See, but now it is.
It is.
Because I said that.
This is about finding the soul.
Okay.
Look.
Your eyes match your jumpsuit.
Don't talk about the emerald stuff.
Look deep. Connect. Understand.
The portly artist takes a step back from the guys, observing them as they look into each other's eyes. A window with the blinds half drawn spills bright sunshine onto Miles' face as he twitches his mouth, barely blinking. Colin stares back, matching his friend's intensity. Miles reaches for Colin's nipple.
Don't do it. Look, Patrick, you a swell motherfucker, man, and I dig everything about you except that shit right there. I'm sorry.
Outside, Miles pulls the truck's rear door shut. In front of him, a man speaks on his phone as he unloads bags from a parked car.
Hey, man, you're gonna have to move your car, bruh. You gotta get out.
Bro, you gotta move, boy. Let's go.
The man ignores them.
Look at this fucking transplant. What's he doing?
Colin answers his phone.
Hey, Mom.
Move your shit, bruh.
The man continues unloading.
Are you not gonna listen? Oh, you don't hear me?
Yeah, that is Miles. Yeah.
Just ignore me.
He said hi.
Move, bruh!
Yo, I think we could be there in like...
Are you
like
kidding me right now?
Yeah. Miles leans over to Colin's side and presses the horn. The man pays no attention to him.
Hey! Hey! Do you hear the fucking ringing sound? Move your shit!
Bob, I gotta go.
Son of a...
Now, a quick montage of paintings of faces is followed by a low-angled view of a quaint house, its exterior covered in the colorful paintings. Inside, black-and-white posters, photographs, and cartoons depict civil rights activists, as well as protests demanding decent housing, voting rights, and jobs. A television screen displays a first-person shooter video game in progress. Standing in a doorway, Miles and Colin watch with puzzled expressions as a gleeful young boy plays the game.
Who is this little homie?
He think he my stepbrother.
Why is he drinking out of your dinosaur mug you made in fifth grade?
Mugosaurus.
The boy stares as he slurps.
You just gonna let him drink out your mug like that? You just gonna let him do that, Colin?
Mom! Mom!
I'm in the bathroom, sir.
Colin peeks into
a
room.
This is my room. You gave him my room?
I know.
Mom, he is living in my room.
This is why I told you to come over so we could talk about what your, you know, long-term plan is.
I am moving home in 2 days.
Later.
You really couldn't find an apartment? The whole damn city got a for rent sign on it.
Have you ever been convicted of a felony? If so, what is the nature of your crime?
Well, whose fault is that?
Him.
Well, I just assumed you'd only be here for a little bit. And eventually, you and Val were.
Mom.
She came by a couple days ago.
We are not together right now.
Okay. Well, Jimmy and all my drums are in guest room A now.
Yeah, I saw that.
Cleared the rest of Sinead's stuff off her old bed, and you can have that room for a bit. But that is not your room. That is my guest room B.
Well, where is your sister anyway?
Sinead's in Bali. Teaching non-Eurocentric beauty techniques.
She and Colin raised their fists.
Took out a second mortgage on this house to send her to school. I'm gonna be paying it off for the rest of my life.
Why don't you just sell the house then?
She is not gonna sell our house.
I am not selling my house. I'll be damned if I move out of this neighborhood now that they got good food and shit.
She removes a pamphlet tacked to the fridge door.
Give this to his better half.
Yeah.
Tell us from me, please.
Okay. What is that?
Get your hand on my
something
pocket,
for bro. Ashley and my godson, and you'll just lose it.
You're not wrong.
Hey, baby.
A gray-haired man walks in and kisses Colin's mom, then eyes him.
Hey, look at this good-looking man.
Hey, what's happening, Marty?
Oh.
They hug.
How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man.
Staying out of trouble?
Yeah, man, I'm good.
Miles enters with a box of hair appliances.
Nancy, can I have this?
What you gonna do with those?
Now, Miles climbs onto a tail at a beauty shop and slams the box down.
Flat irons! Top of the line, metallic,
heat-absorbent alloy metal.
The customers and hairdressers stare at him.
Uh-uh. Who the fuck said you could talk in Mama Liz's shop?
Oh, shit. This finna been a show you want to watch.
We've got ceramic and titanium, some for home, some for travel, wide plates for long weaves, short plates for thinking about going all natural.
Boy, please, those look old.
These are from the cosmetology school after just one class. Out the box, but not quite out of gas. They use the best to teach the worst to become the best, and the best is right here, and that's what you deserve, so forget the rest. I mean, come on, people.
I don't know about that.
Well, you haven't even told me how much yet. Mm-hmm. And Mama Liz does not enjoy suspense. I don't even like suspense movies.
I don't either.
Fuck Alfred Hitchcock.
Right. Fuck him.
And M. Shamal Knight, that motherfucker could kiss my ass, too. Mm-hmm. Makes me nervous.
There's always a twist.
Let me ask you something. How much is that one you're holding right now?
$140.
$140? I would never. These have got to be at least a third of the price of that, and hand to God, I bet they work better.
Okay. Who the fuck is this white boy y'all let in my shot?
Oh, I'm just a West Oakland homegrown bay boy about his town business. Matter of fact, 100% of the proceeds today are actually going towards bilingual education for the youth of Oakland.
Okay.
And it's gonna help men transitioning out of incarceration towards finding a better life and having a second chance, because that is what our community so desperately needs. Mm. I feel it, you feel it, we all feel it, we all know it.
Come on.
I deserve a second chance.
Mama Liz takes slow, measured steps toward him, her face set in a stern expression. A nervous Miles clutches the flat iron, but remains standing on the table. Mama Liz picks up another iron from the box and shakes it next to her ear, then gives him a suspicious look.
How we know these work?
Now, Colin sits in front of Miles' apartment in the bright sunshine, his freshly pressed locks blowing in a slight breeze. The view pulls back to reveal Miles sitting beside him.
I think it looked good.
He reaches for his gun.
You know, it's so uncomfortable. Shit on my belt, man.
Oh, right. Plausible deniability ruined. Thank you.
He stuffs it into his jacket, then takes out a wad of cash.
Made $600. $300 is very much young.
Nah, bro, you keep that for La Raza preschool or whatever.
Out of here, man. You know, family work, man. I got something, you got something. What you talking about?
Colin takes the money. The two of them check their phones.
You just get this text about an ex co-worker's party?
Yeah, me trying to go?
Nope.
Ashley peers out of an upstairs window.
Miles, can you please come upstairs? Well, hello, Colin's perm. That looks fucking terrible.
Thank you.
I mean, if you gon' perm, why don't you go wherever your mom or Val went?
I wasn't.
Nancy's hair looks great.
What the hell are you doing talking to Val for?
I'ma tell you, I didn't break the piccolo, nigga. I just follow her on social media.
You could all be friends with Val still. She's like a really good person.
No, the fuck we can. Okay. Fuck Val. And baby, wow. Unfollow Val in the media.
Now a phone screen displays an incoming call from Colin. Val answers.
Hi.
A split screen shows the couple side by side.
I had to take my hair out today for this something, and now I need to get it braided back again before tomorrow.
Okay.
And you're the only one who can get it done before 11?
Why does it have to get done by...
She closes her eyes.
Right. Why'd you take your hair out?
It was... profitable to do so. Look, I'm really not trying to make this a us thing. I just really have to get my hair braided.
Fine. Let's do it at your mom's house, okay? I have to return a bowl anyway. And this is my study time, so you need to help me memorize stuff. It has to actually be study time.
Later.
The tendency to judge the strength of arguments based on the plausibility of their conclusions rather than how strongly this...
Belief bias effect.
Yes.
Next.
Okay. The tendency to attribute one's own actions to external causes while attributing other people's behaviors to
blame
internal
gaming,
causes.
Blame gaming. You blame the game. It's actual observer bias.
Yes. What are you saying before the answer?
Oh, you're going to love this. This is absolutely your fault.
I love that.
I made up, like, slang words to help me remember things.
Oh, shit. Look at you out here innovating. See, she is still town. I knew it.
Still town? Who said I'm not town?
No, I mean, people just be saying things in the street, girl, but it's cool.
He points to a picture.
What is this vase one?
Oh, you see a vase?
Why you say it like that? Ooh, it's two faces, though. Rubens vase. The image is fundamentally ambiguous. People perceive a vase or faces, but not both at the same time.
All right, so apparently you like vases.
Ooh, I got you. Face-facing.
No,
you No, just... try it out. Face-facing.
You can't just keep saying it.
Face-facing.
It's got to be like real slang, so it'll stick in my head.
I'm sprinkling it, though. Face-facing.
Her eyes are over his shoulder.
Hey.
What?
You know I'm a free bird tomorrow, right?
She arranges his newly braided hair.
Yes, I do know.
He smiles.
I'm happy for you.
Me too.
She turns his head so he faces forward again, and his smile fades. She continues braiding with a somber expression.
You gonna hang out of car windows and curse at people then, too?
Why would I do that?
I don't know. You tell me. I got a complaint today that one of our trucks was just honking and yelling at people, and a black guy with dreads was just screaming at him.
Nah, nah, nah. That's it. You don't have all the information.
Okay.
So what happened, Miles was honking the horn because... There was a dude.
Wait, Miles was honking?
He was the one who was honking a horn.
We set it up so you would be the driver.
I know. No, I was not. I was driving.
Keep your head straight.
I was driving, but if he reached across me and honked the horn, then what I'm supposed to do?
Colin, just take some responsibility for the things that are happening around you.
I'm not denying it. I'm just saying that maybe this time it wasn't the black guy with dreads that did it.
He lowers his head. Val gazes off solemnly, her hand still moving deftly over his hair. She presses her lips together.
I know you're trying. You just don't even wear that fucking grill anymore. Oh, if you could just get rid of all this hair.
She gazes wistfully at the back of his head.
You'd almost look...
like less blamable.
Not the hair, bruh. It's my identity, bruh.
It is.
Yeah, well, your identity is done. And I gotta go.
She pats him on the shoulders and gets up. Colin shuts her textbook, rising to his feet, as she packs a bag and pockets her phone. He tries to insert the book into the bag.
I got it. Thanks.
She stuffs the book in. Colin spreads his arms.
Can we? Is that?
They embrace. Val rests her cheek on Colin's shoulder, her dark eyes lost in thought. She closes them, and her brow furrows slightly as she leans deeper into the hug. Colin's arms wrap tighter around her waist. Pulling back, she points a stern finger at him.
Okay, this is why I didn't want to come to your place.
Colin! It's 10:45, babe.
Thank you, Nancy.
Sorry to interrupt.
Colin gestures helplessly, then looks into Val's eyes.
Thank you.
Bye.
She walks off without looking at him. Now, sitting behind the wheel of the moving truck, Colin draws to a stop at the same intersection as the previous night. As he waits for the light to change, he glances to his right to find a small shrine on the sidewalk with flowers, balloons, and candles surrounding photographs of the murdered black man. Handwritten letters read R.I.P. Randall Marshall, with more messages scribbled along the sides. A group of people busy in conversation walks by the shrine without looking at it. Brow furrowing slightly, Colin returns his attention to the front. Meanwhile, lounging on the couch beside Miles, Ashley reads the pamphlet from Nancy, which bears the words, "How to Talk to Your Kids About the Police." Their son sleeps next to them.
In West Oakland, the man killed by police has been identified as Randall Marshall. A foot chase took place down Adelaide Street in West Oakland.
They're going to use his professional police photo. They're going to use...
Oh, come on. Use bro's work photo. Got him in the orange jumper. They couldn't find out one picture of bro and his own shit. That's so disrespectful, man. You can't find him.
He's just asleep. We just got him to sleep.
The recent felon was carrying an unlicensed concealed weapon.
Felon. Convicted felon. Wrong cocktail, my G. He gets no protest.
Ashley places a gentle hand over her son's.
Marshall lived on 32nd Street with his girlfriend and 3-year-old daughter.
Now a sign on a chalkboard reads, "Second Start Halfway House," with a timetable of weekly chores drawn up below. Colin's name is followed by three X's in a row.
An overhead view shows Colin climbing stairs, his head covered in a hood. He moves cautiously, keeping his footsteps light as he proceeds to a door and begins to unlock it.
You're late, Mr. Hoskins.
A bearded man stands behind him.
You just stand there all day? Isn't it something we could automate?
You want a robot telling you to mop the bathroom? Yeah, how about a robot that just mops the bathroom? Then I can go get some sleep.
Solutions-oriented, see? I like that.
Yeah, even better. How about motherfuckers just don't get arrested for dumb shit?
Let's see where we're going here. But
then
if we could just get to it.
I won't have to enforce seemingly arbitrary tasks to establish your ability to follow rules as a representation of laws.
Arbitrary. That's the word right there.
Don't make me write you up for your last week. The judge will extend your time here a year, and then your little map box sentence starts over.
Convicted on dirty bathroom charges.
You are now a convicted felon, Mr. Hoskins. You are now that until proven otherwise. Prove otherwise at all times.
Got it.
The man checks his watch, then gives Colin a final look before walking away. Colin turns back to his door. He fits his key into the door lock, then hesitates. Now, a low-angled view shows Randall crumpled in a motionless heap on the ground, a car's rear lights blinking in the distance. Headlights shine bright as a vehicle approaches. Colin's eyes dart behind closed lids. He jolts upright to find himself in the courtroom with his hands cuffed. The lights go out, leaving him in the darkness. Another turns on, revealing Miles dressed like an attorney.
Colin is a bad motherfucker. Cadillac dipping, pimping. Plenty women lean sipping, smoking. Heavy on the marijuana token. Posted, pushing the hard line out in Oakland. City of dope, the boy is dope, that's why the whole city know him. Oh, he just took a little break. Thought he changed his ways, but he played you, Jake. Pride of Oakland, usually calm and collected, but that ain't the motherfucker to be no punk when disrespected.
Colin coughs up a bullet. Miles addresses a handcuffed jury of black men.
This is the life we live in, and it's been since the beginning, and you know we stuck in that soil loyal, and we don't do revisions, and we don't get passes for pussy footing. Don't be who you isn't.
Colin coughs up more bullets.
Get it settled, is it ladder metal? Get your picture taken, put you in the pavement. That's the destination. You done time now, you got stripes now. That ain't decoration, this is life now.
The bullets fly back into Colin's mouth.
Till it's lights out, till it's lights out, till it's lights out.
In the judge's chair, Officer Molina bangs a gavel repeatedly, blue and red lights flashing on his face. Stop! Scenes from Randall's shooting flash as Miles points his fingers like a gun. Stop! Colin jolts awake in bed and eyes his alarm clock, which reads 6:25. Shutting it off, he lies with his cheek buried in his pillow. He squeezes his eyes shut for a moment, then gets up. Now, a view from behind Colin shows him jogging through the stone archway in the cemetery. Text appears, last day on probation. He keeps a steady pace. A memory flashes of Officer Molina banging the gavel in his dream, bathed in red and blue light. As Colin jogs past rows of headstones, more memories flash by, including that of the dazed officer after the shooting. Now, gliding views take in various housing structures, including neat one- and two-story homes, a building under construction, and slick multi-story apartment complexes. A view drifts past a row of trash cans before settling on Miles' apartment building.
Come on, bro.
Colin follows his friend down the sidewalk. As Miles steps into the convenience store, Colin stops at the window and studies a recruitment poster for the Oakland Police. In it, a young black man wearing a t-shirt with Courageous printed across the chest smiles next to the words, "We want you." Colin walks in.
Matter of fact, Ashley was just telling me it's $80,000 a year starting salary for OPD, but they don't even hire in the town. So the person who pulls you over is actually from like Cupertino or some shit.
Why not just live in Oakland?
You're probably worried that if somebody knew where they live, somebody'd come shoot them for all the dumb shit they do. I don't know. Hey, bro, let me get a square, bro.
He slams a bill on the counter, staring as Colin grabs a bottle of green juice from the cooler.
What? Nigga, can I better myself? Can I be courageous?
You're gonna end up listening to vinyl with a wooden tie and suspenders, with a gluten allergy, counting calories, riding a Vespa. To Whole Foods, motherfucker. That's what you're gonna be doing.
They actually have great produce.
Miles holds up his cigarette.
Now I need this. Because of you.
He leaves,
Colin pays for his juice. Now, a tattooed hand flicks open a lighter, while a fork dips into a salad bowl. A view of Miles's mouth shows him smoking, while one of Val's shows her eating a grape tomato. The guys enter the office.
Namaste, Val!
Happy sunrise.
Indeed, this sunrise is a blessing, and I'm as moved by your welcome as you are moved by an elliptical.
Does he come up with these things, like, on the way here?
Auditions him in the car.
Where's the board?
I'm adding a move. I will give it to Colin.
I hope it's moving you off your high horse.
He stamps his time card and stomps off. Val turns to Colin.
Hi.
Hi.
She smiles up at him.
Your braids look good. Who did them for you?
Just kind of does this when I wash it now. Yeah, it must be all that healthy living got me looking so good. You know, my natural state.
You know, there's more to healthy living than just drinking kale smoothies.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying, because you have some major lifestyle things.
It was a joke, Val. I know what healthy living is.
I'm sorry. It's none of my business.
I was just...
Live your life.
She hands him a clipboard with a sticky note.
This is in Sinwana Creek. I can't... It's outside of my...
No,
I can't go there yet.
That's in Alameda County.
No, it's not. Trust me, it's not.
Val stares at him.
All right. I'll give it to Yorkie.
She takes the sticky note off the clipboard. Grabbing his juice bottle, Colin moves inward and stamps his time card. Now, a view through a chain-link fence shows the truck moving down a highway. In a montage, various houses flash by with the truck moving past them. Now, a woman stands in the doorway of a derelict duplex, holding a phone to her ear.
Hello? Yeah, so now I'm really excited about this one. So we're going to clear it out, gut it, get it down to just the bones.
Commander moving.
Hold on 1 second. The movers just got here. Okay. Hi. So you can just pull everything out and take it to the dump. Just all the junk. And then apparently there's some sort of sailboat in the back. It can all just go. Thank you so much. Bye. Hi. So I'll meet you.
She leaves. The guys climb the front stoop.
Commander Miles.
Commander Smiley.
Colin hands Miles his clipboard and duffel bag, then pulls on a pair of workman gloves as he walks through a dark corridor with plastic sheets covering the walls.
Well, this is gonna be nice when it's done. Some transplant.
Donning gloves, Miles follows Colin to the end of the corridor, then walks past him into a room beyond. Colin stops and studies a framed black and white photograph on a shelf. It shows a couple standing next to a multi-tiered wedding cake.
Well, another cleanup job.
Colin carries the photo into the room.
Cleaning up after the dead.
He eyes trinkets on a wooden frame.
Broken TVs, paint cans full of lead. Turn the projects into prospects. Ain't nothing precious like Sidibay? How you say that?
Sidibay.
Hope they know young niggas hauling my belongings when the enemy comes. It's a man and my mama on the drums.
Miles moves paint cans to a growing pile of junk.
Sometimes seem like all we got is rhythm in the slums.
Colin sits in a chair.
This dog ain't no millionaire, but just as rare. Trying to tap dance in the rain on these niggas like a stare.
He blows dust off an album, then flips through photos of a young black family.
Happy on my face, in my mind, I'm a scared crow. Hung up in the hood till I'm discarded. Don't know who I'm spooking, I'm the one who's spooking hardest. Probably because I know that I'm just here to help the harvest. After that, I'm a target.
He flips through more pages of the album.
Mover helping up the market. My bad.
Come on, bro.
He gets up, and Miles moves the chair to the pile.
Gotta keep moving shit. Whole bunch of shit I never had.
He picks up a football.
Heads.
He tosses it to Miles.
Football. Wish I had my dad.
Miles throws the ball back.
You know fatherhood, that's a passing fad. For you.
Come on, man, shit ain't too sad.
A view slowly pulls away from the duo as they continue moving stuff to the center of the room. Now standing at their truck, they toss miscellaneous items in, including a chair, a cardboard box, and a trash bag. Colin begins to pull the rear door shut, then pauses.
Did she say something about a boat?
Now Miles stands on a small boat holding a sign.
Sailboat! Get your artisan sailboat! Platinum seaworthy! Sailboat!
Nauticals included.
You ain't never gonna sell this boat, bruh.
A man parks his car nearby and locks it with a key fob. He glances at Miles as he heads off.
We get it, bruh. Your car has an alarm. Congratulations, it's fancy.
The man stares.
Bitch.
Miles's gaze falls on Colin, who sits with his legs dangling off the edge of the boat. Stepping over, he leans close.
Hey, Colin, who braided your hair between yesterday and today?
Colin smacks his lips, then licks them, shaking his head.
Val came over to Mom's house, and she braided it for...
All right.
Air out, nigga. What is your problem with Val?
Val is a disloyal bitch. When you were in jail, did she put money on your books? Did she come visit you even one time at Rita while you were locked up? Because I'm pretty sure I went 2 times a week, 45 minutes each way, $500 on your book on day one.
She talked to me on the phone.
How gracious of her to have called you once. And what did she want to talk to you about changing up your lifestyle, changing up your ways? You're not a thug drug dealer. You went to jail on a fire technicality.
Did I?
Yes. How are we supposed to know that hipsters are so flammable?
A car pulls up to them.
Hey, Cuddy! What'd that boat do?
Hey!
No way.
Shit, man, I got that jug for sailing, fishing, floating, or fucking. Get you a flight to Boston at a private function. Perfect for getting into something. Let me put you on that water world, bruh.
Bruh, is it hot or cold, though?
Warm to the touch, no burn, no.
What's the intel on the Vin Diesel?
No fingerprints, bruh.
Dusty trail?
Theory. It's Gucci.
Cuz, I can't be riding the way with something out of pocket. You under dig? Get blurped, and I gotta peel out for the Daytona 500, cause I got a few hammers tucked. Niggas got laundry, no bleach.
All mamas, this was in the cut.
Rebuild jug, though? What's the part two?
No sequel, bruh. Pockets is touching, so we're just trying to get it off into a movie.
Cuz, I'm gonna have to let that marinate one time.
Bruh, if you're really about that life, this the come up right here. Plus, three bills ain't nothing but a small thing to a giant like yourself. I say, let's make moves. You throw me that 300 right there. I'm gonna clip the woo-wop to the rear view, and less is more, you dig?
The potential customer considers it.
Clip the woo-wop to the rear view?
By far.
Fast.
He hands Miles the cash.
What'd he say?
Oh, I have no idea. He gave me $300, so this boat sold. Sold, motherfucker, sold.
Mouthpiece for days, bruh.
People like the way it makes me feel, man. They like the bounce of that shit. Everybody listen more when you make it sound pretty. I'll tell you right now.
All right, hey, I'm gonna go back to the office. Our clock is about down.
I'm back in like an hour, though. We got the feast in a second. Sean,
right? Yeah, I'll be right back.
He heads off.
She didn't come visit you one time, bruh.
I know. I was there.
At the office.
You're all set for Friday.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
I got her number.
That's just the office number. I don't know. I mean, she lives here.
Colin enters, and a customer stares at him.
Yo, excuse me, bruh. Did you used to work the door at the alley?
Colin tenses slightly.
Yeah. That was like a minute ago.
Yeah, you did. Oh, shit, bro. This is that motherfucker with the scorpion bowl at the alley that I told you about.
What dude with the scorpion bowl?
I never told you about the scorpion king. This is him.
We really don't have to do this right now.
Yeah, we do. Okay. You know the alley, right?
Yeah, over on Grant.
Yeah, it's an institution. Yeah. Oh, my God. This story is so fucking dope. The night is cracking. I'm looking fly when this Colorado white boy saunters up to the bar. He's like, sup, bro? Give me one of those. And he orders the scorpion bowl. This thing is like a giant swimming pool of fucking booze with a flame in the middle. It's like a white person's wet dream. This dude sees a scorpion bowl and, like, he grows hair on his chest. Like, his balls drop. The motherfucker hits puberty right there in that moment. His mind is... Boom! And listen up, everybody! It's scorpion time!
The white customer grins as a layer's draped on him.
Meanwhile, this nigga right here, excuse me, this gentleman.
Let me say that with me.
Yeah, my bad. I was out of my mind right then. This dude right here is just standing outside working the door, looking hella fresh, might I add. There's this white boy on the stool, and he's like hella hard, you know what I'm saying? He got tatted up, he's looking grizzled. Now I'm blowing a cigarette. I'm gonna fucking quit, I know, all right? Just leave me alone. I'm so sorry. He keeps interrupting me. So anyway, Jason Biggs busts through the door, and he's like,
Guys, look at this fucking fire drink. It's fucking insane.
But then my dude steps up, and he's like,
Hey, bruh, you can't bring alcohol out here. You gotta take that back inside.
Motherfucking Topher Grace responds, calm down, I'm just gonna show my friends for like 2 seconds, then I'm gonna go back inside, okay? And if I don't, and you lose your job, I'll get you a new job, dog.
Yeah. The customer laughs.
What? Right? Now, shit gets bad.
Now it gets bad?
Colin glances at Val, who averts her gaze.
So he's like, the fuck you say? I'll go back inside, right? I'll go back inside. My man stops him like, you're done. Give me the fucking goblin thing.
Well, first of all, it's a scorpion ball, okay? And second, no, I fucking paid for this thing.
And then he slaps his arm. Brah! Remember the white boy on the stool? Guess what? He's a fucking psycho. Because he's like, hey, you better know where you at, fuck boy, before some real town shit happened to you. And then Neil Patrick Harris pushed it hard. Would you ever push this dude?
I would not.
This motherfucker looks just like Crazy Bone.
Sort of Leatherface.
Mr. Sort of Leatherface.
In the flashback, the customer pushes Colin, who shoves the man onto the ground, then holds him down and punches him repeatedly across the face.
My man snaps like a fucking Incredible Hulk, and he's like, roar! Bruh, bruh, bruh. Little white boy reaches up like the Undertaker, gets him in a fucking chokehold, right? Then Oakland white boy jumps in and starts kicking him, and he's fucking Chuck Norris on this motherfucker, and he's like, I hate my dad. And they're just beating the shit out of Topher, you know what I'm saying? And it's a fucking menage a trois of violence, bro. Now, mind you, that drink is still on fire.
Oh, I forgot about the flame.
It is still burning. That fire catches some of that alcohol and ignites. Now that flame's rolling, 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 and they are ablaze. Inferno, motherfucker! Portlandia's on the ground, going up in flames, and my ass is just standing there. I'm just like, shit, look out. It's like Michael B. Jordan on fire and Chris Evans on fire. And you think the fight would be over, but nah, this dude has lost it. And his fucking friend is like Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance, all over this motherfucker's face while he cooks. And he's like, welcome to Oakland, bitch. He's bleeding, he's cooking, these dudes is pounding on him, people's just screaming. Woo! That shit was nuts.
He eyes Colin with an odd expression. Colin stares back glumly.
Damn. That really happened?
Yeah. It did.
In the flashback, Colin and Miles continue to pound on the customer. From inside the bar, Val pushes her way to the entrance, her eyes widening in horror as she notices the beaten, bloody man on the ground.
Stop!
Colin notices his sleeve is on fire and gets off the man. Miles continues to kick the guy. As Colin pats the fire out, his gaze falls on Val, whose horrified expression hardens as she stares at him.
Him and his white friend stomped that drunk dude until he was unconscious. He was in the hospital for a week. And all over a drink.
Back in the office, she blinks sorrowfully. Shoulders slumped, Colin takes a quick sidelong look at her. The two customers glance between the couple, then one smiles awkwardly.
Well, we gotta go.
Well, this has been fun.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
They shuffle out. Colin stares after them.
You're about to get a fresh restart. You need to get rid of Miles.
Miles, this is my best friend.
Yeah, is he? Because I know you guys grew up together, but he's going to put you back in jail or he's going to get you fucking killed.
Miles had my back since we were 11 years old. When I went to jail, Miles came and saw me all the time.
I'm not talking about this with you again. He came to visit you out of guilt. Because he pushed you into a fight and he didn't go to jail with you. What if that dude had a gun? What if Miles' dumbass had a gun? What if the cops showed up and they saw you stomping that white dude? Who do you think they would have shot? Miles?
She narrows her eyes at him. Colin's face falls.
Good night, Val.
I'm just Colin.
Yeah, I know.
Moving slowly to the time clock, he picks out his and Miles' time cards and stamps them.
Val gazes off dolefully, then flinches and returns to her work. Later, Miles counts $5 bills at his kitchen table while Ashley cooks nearby, both of them grooving the music as they work. Miles throws handfuls of cash in the air. In the bedroom, Colin races toy cars with their son.
3, 2, 1.
Oh. Yeah!
Woo! You said?
All right. Here's the thing. I don't have it right now, but I'm gonna get it. I'm good for it. Wait, I got a better idea. Let's race again.
About to beat you in another car race.
No, you won't.
Colin eyes the bed frame as he places another car on a ramp.
Made those bed pieces. I mean, they weren't. Was, no, not these ones, but ones just like it.
Where do you make beds?
In jail.
Why were you in jail?
For being a tough guy.
The boy eyes him curiously.
Dinner's ready!
Coming home!
Later, Miles rolls a joint at a table while Colin sits on the couch nearby, snacking on baby carrots.
You'll be just fine, don't worry about it.
Hey, Colin.
Yeah?
You finna smoke with your friend here?
I think I'm good off the weed now.
Miles straightens and stares at Ashley.
Ow. It's like I see that it's him, I hear that it's him. But then you're gonna see some shit right there. What am I over here doing for?
Change brand, I guess.
My plan will change. For what?
The boy walks over to Ashley and whispers in her ear.
Oh, now you conspiring against me too?
He picked this especially for you.
The boy hands Miles a rolled up t-shirt.
What is this? You got me a present? You gonna touch a tender thug in his emotions with this beautiful gesture of love?
He's so stupid.
Look at this, boy. Come here, give me a hug. Yes, thank you. All right, give me for a hold for 1 second.
Ashley high-fives her son. In a bathroom, Miles pulls the t-shirt over his tattooed torso. Text on it reads, "Kill a hipster, save your hood."
This shirt look kind of small, don't it?
Oh, let me see. Oh, baby, like you look so good.
Baby, you look so good.
This is like a little baby tee. What are y'all talking about? I can see every little thing in your arms, in your pectorals.
You can see this tattoo. Nice. This is one of my favorite tattoos.
Man, this shirt is too small, and both of y'all know that shit. No, look at this little baby shirt.
You can pierce a nipple, and it's delicious. It's amazing.
No. Look at this little thing.
Miles walks out of the bathroom and freezes. Behind him, Colin and Ashley also stop abruptly, their smiles dropping. A view from behind Miles glides slowly to reveal his son sitting on the floor, turning Miles' gun over in his hands.
Hey, Sean, won't you put that down, man?
Baby, put that down.
Ashley remains frozen in place, while Miles and Colin move cautiously forward.
Put that down, man.
Sean spins the gun cylinder.
Sean.
The boy points the barrel at his eye.
Sean.
Colin reaches forward and grabs the gun out of the boy's hands. Ashley runs over and picks Sean up, then looks tearfully between Colin and Miles.
Is that your gun, Colin?
Mouth open, Colin hesitates, then shares a look with Miles before turning back to Ashley.
No.
Miles, get the fuck out now!
It was an accident, all right?
Put a fucking gun into this house! Get out now! Just get the fuck out! Go!
Miles grabs his jacket and leaves.
Don't fucking come back here! Get out!
Ashley, I'm so sorry.
You let him buy one! Get out!
She fixes him with a hard stare.
Now!
Colin eyes her with a tortured expression, then turns and walks away. Ashley holds Sean close, crying. Downstairs, Colin hands the gun to Miles.
Here. Get rid of it.
You couldn't just make it yours for 2 fucking seconds.
No, it's not mine. And I didn't want to have shit to do with that fucking gun in the first place.
So don't make it yours then. Just make it not mine.
I'm not going to bring a gun around a little kid, Miles.
So what, I'm the father who brought that shit around his son?
Isn't that what happened?
I know what happened.
A group of people pushes past them.
So tall, she had 2 sets of kneecaps.
Some of them slap the guys' hands as they pass. As they head off, Miles and Colin open their mouths to speak. They both check their phones.
Fuck it.
What?
I'm calling us an Uber and we're going to Knox's party.
The hell we are? I'm not going to that fucking party.
Well, we're not going back in there, are we? And would you go spend your first day not having a curfew in a halfway house?
I'm not trying to go to some party where no bullshit is gonna jump off.
The bullshit is out here. Are you kidding me? That party's full of the squares and the squares. Knox works for Pandora. It's gonna be safe.
It's gonna be nothing but hipsters and artisan beer and shit. You know, goat cheese, acoustic.
Colin notices a police car parked across the street, and a fearful expression flits across his face. Miles raises his eyebrows.
Bruh. Yes. It's a better idea. Yes. Out here, this is where you want to be? Here. Look around.
All right, all right, all right. But I'm not trying to get involved with no hot shit tonight.
Miles eyes his phone.
Cars.
He turns to find Dez's tricked out car pulling up. Dez looks out the passenger side window.
My nigga! Now Uber has arrived.
Dez, boy, what are the chances of this?
Oh, fucking course.
Oh, Colin! I got a little something for you in the trunk. Celebrate your friends.
He reaches below his seat and the trunk opens. Pulsing purple and red lights illuminate three black cases and two bottles of liquor inside. Now, guests mill outside a pair of modern two-story houses sandwiched between two Victorian homes. Dez's purple car pulls up in front. A couple of guests take a selfie in front of the car. Inside, Miles and Colin survey their surroundings with blank faces. Miles turns to Colin and gestures with an extended hand.
Commander Smiley?
Colin shakes his head.
Okay.
Miles walks ahead.
Cool jacket, man.
He removes his own.
Hey, all right, there's some new blood. Come on in, guys. Yo, I'm Sid. Yeah, come on in. Yeah, you guys need drinks? Right back that way. That's all you need, all right? Oh, shit.
He points to Miles's neck.
Same tattoo, man.
He points out his own, an outline of the state of California.
You guys are welcome here anytime. Yeah, that's right. I moved down here from Portland about a year ago, finally found my home.
He heads off.
Thank you, Sid.
Anytime. You take care. Come on in.
He has the same tattoo.
Shut the fuck up.
I go knock.
I need a drink.
He walks off. As Colin proceeds forward, a guy dances past him holding drinks.
Yes, you are a great dancer.
He nods to more guests.
Hello. Hi there.
A guy crosses his path.
All right, put on a shirt.
A guest drums an acoustic guitar nearby. Entering a kitchen, Miles eyes an Oakland flag taped to a wall, while Colin approaches a woman in the living room.
Knock.
Wow.
What's up?
They hug.
Man, you never respond to my invites. And this was a weird one to come to.
Yes.
It's one of our CEO's monthly mixers.
Define mixer.
Oh, right now it's mixed 150 white people with now 3 black people. Mm. Oh, Terry, this is Colin. Terry and I worked at Youth Radio together.
How's it going, man?
What is that?
Miles eyes a platter.
Goat cheese.
What's a little leaf?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Sid punches Colin in the arm.
Hey, you guys good? You guys need any drinks?
No,
good. You're sure. You're good.
Knock lowers her cup to a wooden table.
Sorry, there's just no cups on the table. Let me tell you this right here.
Colin eyes Sid's hand on his shoulder.
This is an original Oakland oak tree stump. That's 140 years old right there. Was. Look at all those rings.
Wow.
Amazing.
Well, hey, you just let me know. There's plenty of drank in the kitchen, homies. Feel free.
He leaves, and the rest exchange a look.
So I'm gonna go get some drink from the kitchen.
Give me whatever you have.
Meanwhile, Miles stares at a plate of Quickly burgers.
What in the...
No!
He picks up a card that reads, "We now cater."
Quickly does not cater, people. It's quick. It's around the way. It's in the name. This is some J-Cash shit right here.
Nearby, Terry laughs as he makes drinks and is back to Miles.
You good, bro?
Yep.
Good, bro.
Miles grits his teeth.
Oh, the grill. You have a grill in. Wow.
You know, you don't have to act ghetto to hang out here. Welcome to Oakland.
He pats Miles.
Have fun, bud.
He walks away, leaving Miles staring off with an incredulous expression. Back in the living room, he hands Knock and Colin their drinks.
Oh, man. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, what happened?
Some hipster kid bought the drinks. Full-on culture vulture. What it do, my bro?
No.
It's lit.
No.
I'm like, don't talk like that. It's not you.
Thank you.
Somebody had to tell him.
In the kitchen, Miles shrugs his shoulders, then rubs his nose.
Yeah, warm
You know what? I made two more in the kitchen. I'll be right back.
Oh, my goodness.
Colvin looks over to see Miles eyeing Terry as the latter steps into the kitchen.
Yo, what up, my man?
Miles shoves Terry to the floor. Colvin grabs Miles and pulls him away.
Get the fuck out, Miles! Get out the fucking way!
They leave. Terry follows them.
No, wait, Terry!
I knew we shouldn't have come here. God,
man, whatever
damn
the fuck ever, bro.
Fuck is wrong with you,
what
nigga?
The fuck what the fuck I want, man?
Hey, white boy! Fucking. Nah! Don't. Get over here, dunk!
Miles moves past Colin and decks Terry. Rising, Terry tackles Miles to the ground. The party guests watch horrified as Terry straddles Miles and throws several punches to his face.
Colin!
Colin cringes.
Colin! Come on, get out! Get!
Miles gets a punch in, knocking Terry off of him. Glancing at the gathered guests, Colin keeps his distance. The men scramble to their feet. Miles grabs Terry and drives him into a parked car. Several guests flinch as he punches Terry repeatedly.
A particularly vicious punch sends Terry to his knees. Miles kicks him, then grabs his head and slams it against the car door. Terry collapses to the ground.
Terry rolls over, his face bloody. Colin watches wide-eyed as Miles staggers backward, blood running down his nose and mouth. He runs a hand through his hair, then slowly turns to face Colin. The two friends lock gazes, both breathing heavily as they stare at each other.
What the fuck do you think you're doing, man? Come on, this is my fucking house! Get the fuck out of here, man!
Miles turns his attention to Sid.
Get the hell out!
He steps toward him.
Get the fuck out of where? Get the fuck out of where?
He pulls out his gun.
No! No!
The guests duck and cower as Miles points the gun skyward.
Miles! Y'all get the fuck out of here! Miles! Y'all get the fuck out! Oh yeah, y'all love out the nail, huh?
Colin wrenches the gun from his hand.
Go!
He shoves him down a sidewalk. Miles breaks into a run and Colin follows. Now running into a dirty, disused parking lot, the friends slow to a stop and pace restlessly by a graffitied wall.
Give me my fucking gun, bro.
Fucking no.
Give me my fucking gun.
Are you fucking crazy? Hey, it really had to go down like that, Miles, tonight? What the fuck, man? And then what? Then they gonna call the fucking cops and they gonna shoot my black ass and not you.
What the fuck is wrong with you? You didn't do shit back there! You didn't do shit, bro!
That is Knox's partner.
I don't give a fuck who the fuck it is. Knox's partner, is that your partner? No! Is that your partner? No! You know how many times I'd have had your back out here? How many motherfucking times I'd have stepped up for your ass? Huh? And you didn't do shit to help me!
Because
look at my face, bro!
Because it was fucking stupid, Miles!
Look who the fuck I am, where the fuck I am, Colin! That's how the fuck I survive out here. You want to act brand new? Then fine. Go ahead. Be a hipster. Get a tech job or some shit. And go act like you don't know where the fuck you from.
I ain't gotta prove to nobody where the fuck I'm from.
Oh, good for you.
Nigga, you got something to prove to everybody.
Yeah? That's because I'm living somewhere where now everybody got me fucked up. You ain't gotta do shit. You ain't gotta worry about you changing up your clothes and your lifestyle. You ain't gotta worry about none of that shit. You're a big black dude with fucking braids in Oakland. Nobody is misreading you, Colin.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, my nigga.
Yeah, bro.
No. Say it.
He bites his lip as he stares his friend down.
What?
Say nigga.
He glares. Miles gapes at him, his brow furrowing.
Oh, fuck you.
Say it. Say, yeah, my nigga.
No.
Why?
You know,
why?
Oh, come the fuck on.
But why?
Because you know I don't say that shit.
What? So it's okay for me to call you nigga?
You've been calling me that since we were fucking 12 years old. I'm not going to stop you now. Do what the fuck you want to say. What you want to say.
If that is so disrespectful, then why is it okay for me to call you that?
Miles scrunches up his face with a bewildered expression.
You're a fucking nigga! You're a
fucking nigga, man.
What are we talking about?
You out here acting an ass like it ain't no fucking consequences for that shit. And every nigga who sees me thinks that I do the same dumb fucking ignorant gun carrying shit that you do. But I've been taking care of my shit. I do our time cars every week. I pick us up. I keep you out of dumb shit. And then what do? You go out and you buy a fucking gun for what? For your family? You are the nigger that they are out here looking for.
He glares at Miles, who holds his frustrated gaze. Colin walks off.
Where the fuck you going? Where the fuck are you going? Colin!
Colin continues walking without looking back. Miles stares after his receding figure.
What the fuck you did? You hear that? What the fuck you did?
Taking a few stumbling steps backwards, Miles turns around and stumps off in the opposite direction. Now, jaw clenched in anger, Colin strides along a sidewalk. Meanwhile, Miles steps into his apartment to find Ashley at the dinner table.
You better not have no fucking gun on you, because...
She catches a glimpse of his face as he steps into the light.
Miles, what the hell happened?
He lowers his gaze regretfully. Back on the streets, Colin walks past closed storefronts. He shakes his head. Slowing down, he tenses slightly, eyeing a police car as it turns a corner ahead and drives toward him. Colin steadies himself and continues walking, keeping his gaze level as the car passes him. He takes slow, measured steps. Behind him, the police car makes a U-turn and creeps up to him. A view of Colin's jacket pocket shows the grip of Miles' gun sticking out. Reaching up, Colin suddenly nudges it back and continues walking, his face shrouded in shadow, as the car crawls behind him. A spotlight switches on. A circle of bright light appears on Colin's back as he walks with his hands in his pockets, terror radiating from his features. Colin takes a few more steps, then comes to a stop. Colin closes his eyes briefly, then licks his lips and turns around slowly to face the car. The spotlight shines bright, obscuring the car's occupants and part of the vehicle itself. Colin blinks hard, fighting back tears as he stares into the blinding light. The spotlight switches off, and the car drives away with its light bar flashing. Eyes squeezed shut, Colin remains frozen in place, wearing an overwhelmed expression. He breaks down. In Miles and Ashley's apartment, the couple sits at the kitchen table, Miles removing his grill as Ashley wraps a bandage around his hand.
Ow, Ash.
Shut up.
Ow, the shit's broken! I got into a fucking fight! The fuck you want me to do about it, huh? You want to fight about the shit, too?
You're picking the wrong fights, all right? This is already hard. This is work. He is working. I don't feel like you are here with me right now.
I didn't buy that gun on no tough shit, all right?
I know why you thought you needed to buy a gun!
Sobering, Miles raises his gaze to her tear-stained face.
Just let me ask you something. Were you afraid when you came out here and saw Sean holding a gun?
She eyes him desperately, her chin trembling. Miles drops his gaze.
Yeah. And do you think if you would have possibly told me about buying a gun that I might have seen the scenario coming?
Miles looks away, his jaw working as he shifts uncomfortably in his seat.
I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
He eyes her sincerely, and she fixes him with a calm, level gaze.
Well, maybe if you niggas weren't so wild all the fucking time.
Could you not call me that?
What, nigga?
Yeah, can you not call me that, please?
Ashley sits back in her chair, blinking, then shrugs slightly.
Okay.
Miles lowers his mouth to her hand and kisses it. He drops his head onto their collapsed hands. In his room at the halfway house, Colin sits on his bed wearing a pensive expression. He runs a hand over his face, then rests it over his mouth, squeezing his eyes closed as he swallows. Now, Val's phone vibrates with an incoming call from Colin as she sits at her desk taking notes. She answers the call and a split screen shows the couple side by side.
Hi.
Hi.
Val fiddles with her pen.
How's the memorizing coming?
Yeah, just trying to learn these psych terms.
What did you come up with for the double picture one? The face and the vase one?
Oh, I like that one.
She checks a flashcard.
Blind spotting.
Why blind spotting?
Because it's all about how you can look at something, and there can be another thing there that you aren't seeing, so you got a blind spot.
But if somebody points out the other picture to you, doesn't that make it not a blind spot anymore?
No, because you can't go against what your brain wants to see first, unless you spend the time to retrain your brain, which is hella hard, so you're always going to be instinctually blind to the spot you aren't seeing.
She smiles. Colin opens his mouth as if to speak, but hesitates. Val glances at her phone, her smile fading.
Colin.
He blinks back tears.
When you look at me now, do you always see the fight first?
Val's expression darkens, her eyes growing distant as she gazes off sadly. On the other side, Colin licks his lips, then presses them together. Val closes her eyes and looks away.
Good night, Valerie.
Colin.
His side of the screen goes dark. As Val stares at her phone, her side of the screen slowly fades to black. Now, a view fades in to reveal blue skies over the city's rooftops. Text appears. First day off probation. Colin's eyes flutter open in bed. Propping himself up on an elbow, he reaches over and shuts off his alarm clock. Now he drops a duffel bag at his feet and begins stuffing it with clothes and personal items. Moving to a wall, he takes down a map indicating the city's boundaries. He stares at it, then crumples it up and tosses it in a trash can. Downstairs, the timetable of weekly chores shows a check mark next to his name, the other rolls for the day still empty. Now wearing his earbuds, Colin jogs through the cemetery. As he runs, he flashes back to the police car's spotlight switching on. Another flash memory shows Officer Molina shooting Randall. Colin grits his teeth and runs faster. An image of the shackled jury from his dream flashes through his mind, followed by that of Randall falling after being shot. Colin winces but keeps running. As he passes headstones, he notices black men standing in front of each one, their heads bowed. Shaking his head vigorously, Colin sprints faster, then comes to a stop in front of a fountain, doubled over and breathing hard. Glancing behind him, he finds the cemetery devoid of people. He returns his gaze to the front, and his face falls. As he straightens slowly, a view pulls back to reveal the large field in front of him dotted with headstones, a black man standing in front of each one, all of them facing Colin. The men wear black hoodies and stare straight ahead, their arms hanging by their sides. Randall stands in front of a headstone, breathing heavily, his hands and t-shirt dripping with blood. Colin stares. A view moves up Randall's blood-soaked torso and settles on his face, wide-eyed and frozen in terror. Now, brow furrowed in thought, Colin waits outside Miles' apartment building, turning his attention to the door as it opens. Miles steps out in his coveralls, sporting a purple bruise around his left eye. Leaning against the doorframe, he eyes Colin.
You late? We gotta go straight to the first move, all right? I got the address from the office. Just gotta put my shoes on, come on.
Nah, I'm good out here.
Miles stares at him. He moves back inside. Squinting, Colin glances up at the apartment window, then looks away. The door opens again, and Sean skips out with a bottle of green juice.
Congratulations, Colin.
Thank you, Sean.
He takes the bottle.
It's real nice of you, bro.
The boy grins at him, then smacks him in the leg.
Okay. It's not a good time. Sean, all right, cut it out. Sean, all right, enough. I'm serious. Sean, enough. Enough. Hey, stop!
Don't shoot!
The boy throws his hands up. Ashley peers out the window.
What did he just say? Oh, are you outside practicing with Colin? He's a little too young for the pamphlets that your mama gave us, but I'm trying to get ahead early.
Colin straightens, a horrified look on his face. Now he sits behind the wheel of the moving truck, his lips parted in a dazed expression. Miles glances at him from the passenger seat, then removes the grill from his lower teeth and drops it into a chest pocket. The duo climbs out of the truck. A dark-haired woman and a boy walk out of a house as they approach.
Good morning.
Commander, moving for Rachel?
So it's just a ton of boxes in the living room, mostly. My son and I are gonna take off, but my husband is inside somewhere if you wanna go.
Okay, so everything is just in here then?
Miles opens the front door.
Sorry about that. I canceled the service, but it beeps by default when it's open. Just close the door behind you when you're done.
Now, a view from the top of a winding staircase shows Miles and Colin stepping into the house and looking around the sparse interior. Later, Miles carries cardboard boxes out the door. In a cleared-out living room, Colin stands motionless in front of an oscillating table fan, his jacket discarded and holding a cardboard box in his hands. He snaps out of his daze and glances behind him. Now standing by the truck, he addresses Miles, who walks over carrying more boxes.
I left my jacket inside, so I'll go get the last box.
Moments later, he steps back into the house, shutting the door behind him. His jacket lies draped over a box on a side table. As he grabs it, he notices photo frames lying face down nearby. Picking up a silver frame, he studies the photo in it, then sets it down and turns a larger wooden frame over. He tenses. Brow furrowed, he stares at the photo, his breathing growing heavy. Swallowing hard, he blinks, his wide eyes still fixated on the photo. He sniffs. He glances quickly to his right, his expression alert. He returns his gaze to the front, where around a corner, a door stands ajar. Colin eyes it warily, then steps toward it. Pushing the door open, he cautiously enters a large storage room littered with items, including an Oakland police flag on the wall and a Blue Lives Matter poster in the shape of a police badge. Colin tiptoes in. Peering around a shelf, he spots Officer Molina in a t-shirt and track pants, leaning against a desk with his back to him. A green jug as well as a photo of him and his wife lie shattered at his feet. Breathing heavily, Colin walks around the shelf into plain view, his eyes fixed on the officer's back. Molina straightens. Dusting his hands off, he turns, freezing as he spots Colin a few feet away, holding his jacket in one hand, his body tense with simmering rage. Molina raises a finger in recognition. Then his eyes drift to a holstered gun on a table nearby. As he starts toward it, Colin pulls Miles' gun from his jacket and points it at the officer. Meanwhile, stepping back into the house, Miles looks around.
Colin!
As he walks back toward the door, his gaze falls on the framed photo lying on the side table, flipped over to reveal a photo of Officer Molina in uniform, his hat pulled low over his head.
Shit. Colin! Yo, Colin! Hey, bro, we need to...
He runs into the storage room. Molina reaches for his gun again, but Colin waves him back.
Don't.
Colin squints and tilts his head. As Molina backs away, his arms raised in front of him, Colin brings a hand to his mouth and waves the gun around.
Does this scare you?
Molina keeps his frightened eyes on the floor.
Fuck you know about being scared. Were you afraid someone was gonna come find you? Huh? Bruh. What, nigga? I'm just talking to him.
Molina watches him with a petrified expression.
You said make it pretty, right? It's the bounce of it. They like the bounce of it.
Molina stares, frozen in place, as Colin brings both hands to the gun and shifts his weight from one foot to the other.
Like a tree on a sign, nigga, we cut right down.
He stretches his shoulders.
Paul Bunyan-ass cops come to chop me at the knees and search the trunk in my own town. Did you count his rings when you bled him? Huh? When you dead him? Do you understand? How old was he? Nigga, how old was he?
He was 26.
26? In so many years, you decided it didn't mean shit. And all this talking don't mean shit. I mean shit. I've been in my element, eloquent, spitting hella, developing. I've been telling the shell I'm in not to walk like a felon and fucking flipping the middle finger to feeling irrelevant, reveling in my freedom till you turn heaven to hell and hello, sir! I'ma need you to open your fucking eyes now and look and see. You might think you know what's happening, but you don't feel it like we do. To feel it, it has to be you. Cut you, but you don't know what the cut do. You all reflex, but when reflux bleeds the gut, then you see the faces. Leave the vases. Moving people in and out for a fee. Feeding this town decay an appetite of me. An appetizer, huh? I must be tasty, but I stay angry because y'all get hazy. I'm the one out here stuck on a clock, loving a curfew to keep me off the block. Fuck, what time is it? What time? Nope. Fuck it, I did my time. How come every time you come around, you monsters got me feeling like a monster in my own town? And I say it while I'm rapping, nigga, because everyone conditioned to listen to a rapping, nigga, but I'm rapping to the active, nigga. You the one capping, niggas. So quick to flash, you feel like you're passion, nigga. Hitting us till a headstone stuck in the mud. We stuck it out, it turned us into some thugs. Now the whole city brand new and they kicking out us. Maybe we should both break shit, make a fuss. I am both pictures. See both pictures.
He throws a vase, then shatters a photo frame.
Don't be blind spotting me, nigga. See both pictures! Guess I'm just a little bigger than a picture playing chicken with a cliff, but I ain't never been a flincher. Block is getting hotter. I'ma be the one to bring the winter. Fuck it, everybody want a body of a cop to splinter. I mean, why wouldn't I dead him? He's splitting wigs for 80K a year and ain't from here. He'll miss him if he disappear. Filling up with fear, I know you feel it. I've been feeling it for years. In fact, I don't remember ever never feeling it. The one who going dummy never felt the need to run, but I've been sprinting till I limp across the finish with a gun up in my blind spot, really. Ain't too hard to figure that you probably never really felt the pressure of a nigga, but you know what? I ain't never felt the pressures of a trigger.
Mere inches from Molina, he cocks the gun and points it in his face, his own features screwed up in agony. The officer stares at him with tears in his eyes. Molina flinches. Wearing a repulsed expression, Colin shakes his head, a vein bulging in the middle of his brow.
The difference between me and you is... I ain't no killer.
He gazes calmly at Molina, who breaks down.
I ain't no killer.
Taking a few steps back, Colin lowers the gun, then throws the tearful officer a final glance before turning away. As he leaves the room, he hands the gun to Miles, who remains frozen in place, clutching the weapon against his chest. Molina gazes at him through tear-filled eyes.
I didn't mean to.
Miles raises his eyes to meet Molina's.
Are you sure?
Chin trembling, the officer looks away, and his face crumples once more. Now a view moves steadily down a bridge. Bright sunlight shines down from clear blue skies overhead. Inside the moving truck, Miles sits behind the wheel, occasionally shooting a glance at his friend in the passenger seat, who stares straight ahead, lost in thought. They pass under a green light on 9th Street,
and a view tilts upward to take in a verdant canopy over their heads. The duo rides in silence. Miles pulls to a stop at a red light on Filbert Street, craning his neck as he looks out the windshield. Telephone wires crisscross overhead. In the stationary vehicle, he blinks uneasily, then throws Colin an awkward glance.
You good?
Colin keeps his gaze fixed straight ahead. As he blinks, a tear rolls down his cheek. Swallowing, he shakes his head slightly.
No.
Miles nods sympathetically. He looks away, then checks his clipboard beside him.
Well, our next move is Heather Neal in the hills. So, you got anything else you want to get off your chest? I feel like now's a good time, because I don't think we can point another gun at a customer. I feel like we get like one of those a day or a week or never.
Colin brushes his tears away with a small smile.
You pulling guns on people and I'm driving? Everything is upside down today, man. What, you want me to drink this green juice too? Huh? That make you feel better? I drink it, man. I'll drink this shit. Yeah. Fuck it, man. Fuck it. Make you happy?
Mm-hmm.
Colin nods.
Oh, it smells disgusting. Fuck.
Miles takes a tiny sip, then eyes the bottle, his eyebrows raised in an expression of mild surprise.
Son of a bitch, that shit ain't bad, bro.
Colin throws his hands up.
Fuck, man.
That shit ain't bad.
It's like the initial shock you get, but then...
It's so green, you know?
It's so green.
Okay.
Miles caps the bottle. The light turns green, and the truck moves forward again.
All right, who's the next move?
That's Heather Neal.
Oh, shit. That's Derek Carr's girlfriend.
Who's that?
Quarterback of the Raiders.
Oh, hell no. That's the next move. Oh, it's my time to head out now, boy. Shit, I'm gonna give her a piece of my mind about her little boyfriend. He a town traitor as far as I'm concerned. I mean, how the Raiders gonna move to Las Vegas? Unacceptable.
So what, you all fucks with the Raiders now?
Don't be absurd, Colin. That would be disloyal of me to do. I can't stoop to their level. I'm just mad at them forcing me into this very confusing position. Loyalty is tricky, Colin. It's a moving target.
As the truck rides off, black letters splash across the screen outlined in purple. Blind spotting. Fade to black. Credits roll.
Ain't nobody business but the town. All of the scales is digital underground. So you know I get around, but I be right back like the cracks in the foundation. That's why we like what's cracking and what's shaking. Bass slang birth from the earthquake, and then we bend, never break. Fast every day. Hungry tummy always coming for the biggest plate. And the shift right left like the wipers on the scraper. Girl, the rain gon' come while you hiding under paper. No seeds, roll the tree with a loose leaf garden. Call a spade a nigga, but these niggas, they ain't sharp enough to break dirt. Better know I've been about the soil. Cali been about the gold like Texas been about the oil. So slick when I slide through, chick wanna ride too. Click bona fide, homicide like the nine do. Mind been on I do, married to the hustle on fire like Pyru. No blood, muscle on wide, I'm middle of the block like what? Same white teeth, still don't give a fuck. Same white teeth, same smile, still suck. Same white people sitting with the game fucked up. Set my day one, spitting with the flame untucked. This the base, son, you missing what we saying? Yeah. Dumb luck.
What you thought it was a game? Dominoes and bones when it's money on the way. Break a couple for you when you run into the gang. Don't be acting brand new if you really wanna play. Bitch, yeah. Welcome to the bay.
I don't got too many friends, huh? Many rob me of my intuition, so I ask them. Playing my position, I got 20-20 vision. I don't listen if the pimping isn't part of how you flex, huh? Got me feeling extra, bless up. 3D the car, mobbing about the Monty. What I'm driving is CPR to push down on a couple bodies. Too clown to be speaking hard, and I seen you wasn't around till I freed up a couple yards.
Oh, you thought that was easy. A lot of fakers caught the tape and then repeat me. I was in a scraper pulling favors for the capers, putting cash on commissary for my motherfuckers caught up in the danger at the precinct. Me thinks we should body this new flock of two cocky bourgeoisie bitch looking hipster kids passing this rap shit that seemed far too popular. Putting a couple shots in they monikers, thinking they guys when they not even common carpenters. Holler and hollow is top notch telemarketers who got some top. Now you talking tall as a tightrope, but in a crap game he don't know how to dice roll.
What you thought it was a game? Dominoes and bones when it's money on the way. Break a couple for you when you run into the gang. Don't be acting brand new if you really wanna play. Bitch, welcome to the bay.
Hold that right there.
All I know is hustle, all I know is smuggle, all I know is
devil. When I'm in first class on the plane, people ask me what I do for a living. I tell them a little bit of this, a little bit of that, hustling and gritting. Get my money up, pockets need a tummy tuck. My wallet and my bankroll and my baller gun. When I was young, I had a discussion with my...
The characters and incidents portrayed and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity to the name, character, or history of any person is entirely coincidental and unintentional. This motion picture is protected pursuant to the provisions of the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication and or distribution of this photo play may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Blind Spotting. Copyright 2018. Oakland Moving Pictures LLC. All rights reserved.
We had to do to survive.
This film has been described by Deluxe, with funding by Lionsgate Films, Inc. Voice by John Bentley.